The doctor looked at Bond for a moment, and then turned brusquely to Mathis. "You may have 10 minutes, and then you will be forcibly ejected. If you put the patient's temperature up, you will answer for it." He gave them both a broad smile and left the room. Mathis came over and took the doctor's chair. "That's a good man," said Bond. "I like him."
"He's attached to the Bureau," said Mathis. "He is a very good man, and I will tell you about him one of these days. He thinks you are a prodigy, and so do I. However, that can wait. As you can imagine, there is much to clear up, and I am being pestered by Paris, and of course London, and even by Washington via our good friend Leiter. Incidentally," he broke off, "I have a personal message from M. He spoke to me himself on the telephone. He simply said to tell you that he is much impressed. I asked if that was all, and he said, 'Well, tell him that the Treasury is greatly relieved.' Then he rang off."
Bond grinned with pleasure. What most warmed him was that M himself should have rung up Mathis. This was quite unheard of. The very existence of M, let alone his identity, was never admitted. He could imagine the flutter this must have caused in the ultra-security-minded organization in London.
"A tall, thin man with one arm came over from London the same day we found you," continued Mathis, knowing from his own experience that these shop details would interest Bond more than anything else, and give him most pleasure. "And he fixed up the nurses and looked after everything. Even your car's being repaired for you. He seemed to be Vesper's boss. He spent a lot of time with her and gave her strict instructions to look after you."
Head of S, thought Bond. "They're certainly giving me the red carpet treatment."
"Now," said Mathis, "to business. Who killed Le Chiffre?"
"Smash," said Bond. Mathis gave a low whistle.
"My God," he said respectfully, "so they were onto him. What did he look like?"
Bond explained briefly what had happened up to the moment of Le Chiffre's death, omitting all but the most essential details. It cost him an effort, and he was glad when it was done. Casting his mind back to the scene awoke the whole nightmare, and the sweat began to pour off his forehead, and a deep throb of pain started up in his body. Mathis realized that he was going too far. Bond's voice was getting feebler, and his eyes were clouding. Mathis snapped shut his shorthand book and laid a hand on Bond's shoulder.